I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Senator Rabel, Adonia Oakland Hawkins, and I'd like to serve as a priest in our very soon. It's now time to find seats for Sabbath services. May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Benjamin Alexander Hawks, and I'll like to serve forever at the priest time very soon. It's now time to start finding seats for Sabbath services. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel now entering the sanctuary. And I'd now like to turn over to Sonny Israel, Lasagna Hawkins.
Watch along, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is War No More. Yahweh tells us not to war one to another. The world does not obey him. We are commanded not to war. Please turn to Exodus 20, verse 13 and 15, found on page 61. It says, "You shall not murder, you shall not steal." If we are fighting with someone, we are stealing peace from him and possibly his life. And we are also guilty of murder. We are the people of Yahweh and we obey his commandments. The world does not know Yahweh and they do not know how to be peaceful. We will have to teach the world peace. Please turn to Isaiah 2 and verse 4, found on page 531. It says, "And he will judge among the nations and rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore." We will be teaching that. We will be teaching peace to the world, and it starts from right here at the only established work of Yahweh. In the 14th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 11, verse 64, it says, Zechariah 2 and verse 6, "So he answered and spoke to me, saying, This is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, the one who opposes Babylon, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by spirit, spirit, spirit. Write down in your own Bible, or go read it. It's right now, John." They've translated it John. His name was Yochanan, but John. Yochanan 6:63 shows you what spirit is. "These are the words you said were written by man. That shows they shouldn't follow. That's the Ten Commandments. That's 613 perfect laws that will bring the world out of sickness, disease, of course, wars. And after the message is preached by the house of Yahweh, Micaiah 4, 1 through 3, Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, shows that the house of Yahweh is going to be established in the last days. Then they will bring forth the message of Yahweh to all nations, and they will stop, and they will learn war no more. We are going to be peacemakers, not peacebreakers. If we are peacemakers, we will be in the kingdom of Yahweh. Please turn to Matthew 5 and verse 9, found on page 731. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of Yahweh. And all the peacebreakers will be in the lake of fire." Please turn to Revelation 21, verse 8, found on page 985. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and worshippers of God, Elohim, will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Please turn to Revelation 22, verse 15, found on page 986. It says, "For outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and worshippers of gods, Elohim, and whoever professes to love yet practices breaking the laws of Yahweh. Let's be peacemakers so that we will be called the sons of Yahweh. May God bless your understanding. I'd like to turn it over to Sunny Ishlova for prayer."
It's a privilege and honor to introduce the Great Khan Benjamin Krause.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, so we've made it to 10:13, Moshe 4, 10:13, the anniversary of the Oslo going into effect 25 years ago, Daniel 9:27. Remember these scriptures, because today we're going to be talking, we're going to be going over some things about this last 3.5 years and the witness that's been bringing this to us for all this time and actually foresaw Oslo and wrote about it in the Mark of the Beast book. Okay, so if we can have the first slide, I want you to notice something about the doomsday clock. The doomsday clock is 828 in Gematria, and there's a reason for that. Because the doomsday clock began ticking on 8/28/1934 when Pastor Israel Hawkins was born, okay? The nuclear age, you know, this great nuclear age, if you notice, is also 828. And the nuclear threat is 1074, okay? Because that doesn't mean that Pastor's going to push the button, okay? It doesn't mean that we're going to do it. But it's showing the generation, this generation, and our tag number. Because really, ultimately, who is Satan trying to destroy, House of Yahweh? That's right, the House of Yahweh, okay? Will she prevail? No, she will not. So we have nothing to fear. As long as we're doing everything we've been taught and preparing ourselves for this time that we're in. Can we have my next slide? Pastor put out an article on Yahweh's branch about Damascus, woe to Damascus, Syria, the prophecy of Damascus. This one's from the fourth Roman month of this year. And there's two sayings that he put in here that are back to back. And if you'll notice, I'm going to read them to you. Pastor says, "The generation of the nuclear bombs that can darken the sun is now. It started in the year 1934. Notice the gematria, 828, for that saying right there. Now, I didn't conspire with him to do this. I just went and read it, and I ran those in the gematria, and look what popped up. His next line in that same letter said, "Surely anyone can see the great wisdom that only Yahweh has, which is shown in the prophecies that are 100% accurate." That statement comes to 1074. You know, it would really, you'd have to be a blinder than a bat not to see what's taking place here. You know, by now, the evidence is just piled up, showing, you know, the man. In fact, let's go to the next slide. This man, Daniel, saw, and I'm going to read Daniel 12:7 because he talks about in this verse this last 3.5 years and the man clothed in linen. Did you know that Pastor wears all linen garments? Okay, he's told us that for years. I heard the man clothed in linen who on that future day is teaching. This is what Daniel says. When he held up his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and vowed by him who lives forever, or he vowed by Yahweh, that it will be for a time, times and a half, when Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people, all these things will be finished. And as you can see there, the gematria, he vowed by Yahweh, is 1074, tagging our great overseer. Can we go to the next slide? Can we give some more proof? Remember, these things are encoded in Daniel. If you type in man clothed in linen, who on that future day is teaching, you'll see number 3072 in the middle. And 3072, of course, is the word Yahweh's, the phrase Yahweh Zikanu, which means Yahweh is our righteousness. And notice, it too adds to 1074, tagging our great overseer. Okay? Now, also remember righteousness. The word righteousness is also 1074. Can I have my next slide? All right, so now we're reading from Daniel 8:15, because Daniel, in this chapter, he says, "When I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was searching to understand the meaning, then behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice." Well, remember, pastors, there's proof, ample proof in the book of Daniel, in the codes, in the gematria, that this is the man, Yisrael Hawkins, that Daniel spoke to, that spoke to Daniel. Notice, he spoke to Daniel is 1074 in gematria. Okay, but also notice to the right there, can I have my next slide? There's a number 852 next to it. Well, that word number 852, it means a sign. A sign. And if you remember, the word sign means a tag, a mark, a code. Okay, it's from 226 and it means a sign. And remember, we talked during the feast about that hidden sign of Daniel. The hidden sign, the hidden tag that's in the book of Daniel is 1074. It's hidden. It's encoded in that book. Also, the embedded code number also comes out to 852, showing you this sign that's in this book. And the hidden sign in Daniel is also 852 in gematria. Isn't that a coincidence? Can I have my next slide? Because Daniel in Daniel 7:7 talked about a fourth beast that's dreadful and terrible. Okay? And this last 3.5 years that we're getting, that we may be in right now as I speak, okay? There's ample evidence of it, but we're still seeking that out through our pastor and the gematria and the prophecies and the world events. It says, a fourth beast dreadful and terrible. Notice 666 and 1074. Now, this can either be a very horrible, terrifying time to you where you're weak in the knees, and you can have that tag 666, or you can be a 1074 doing the work of Yahweh in this last 3.5 years, pulling the nations into the house of Yahweh, as Revelation 11 speaks on. Remember, being teachers of the peaceful solution. That's what we all should be training for right now. And notice Luke 21:26 says, men's courage failing them because of fear and because of the dread of those things which are coming. Notice that statement, men's courage failing, is also 1074. What a coincidence, right? Because it's showing the time period and it's showing the man that taught us these things from the beginning. Okay, Yisrael Hawkins. We're not going to be, you know, our courage won't be failing. We'll be doing the work of Yahweh, the insurance policy that Yahweh gave us, if we'll all be doing what we've been taught. Can we go to the next slide? In this last 3.5 years, you'll notice there's going to be a land depopulation, 1074. First, it's going to start with a third part of man, Revelation 9:15. Over that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates. But Isaiah 24:6 shows that the inhabitants of the earth are going to be burned and few men left when 4/5 of this world's population is going to be burned up in this great nuclear war that's coming. But that land depopulation, I'm going to show you some of the ways they're going to depopulate that they've been depopulating. Can I have my next slide? In fact, turn over to Matithya 24. Let's just follow this through step by step here. Matithya 24. And we'll look at verse 5 and 11. I want you to follow this. Notice it says, false teachers will abound. Many will come against my name, saying, I'm anointed to preach salvation, and will deceive many. Notice, false teachers abound. 1074. Many will come against my name, saying, I'm anointed to preach salvation. 666. Okay? So you're going to have these false teachers. Now, you know, some of the deception that's fixing to take place is going to be greater than what you've seen so far. If you think it's going to be just the same deception that we've been seeing, no, it's going to grow worse. Okay? Who knows what we might see? Who knows who might approach you? You know? Can we go to the next slide? Matithya 24:7 says, nation will rise against nation. And notice, nations are at war, 1074. Okay? We're just going to kind of go through these. Can I have my next slide? Matthew 24:7 says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines." Notice, drought and famines, 1074, okay? Because this is the teachings that have been given through this 1074, our pastor all these years warning us of this last generation. That's that tag. 1074 means generation, okay? Don't forget that. This last generation, where this last 3.5 years, it's going to be the worst of all these things right here. In fact, let me show you the next one. Next slide. This article just came out a couple weeks ago. It says, next flu pandemic could be deadlier than the Spanish flu, wiping out 400 million across the globe. And that's just one pandemic. Notice it says, pandemic infection is considered one of the biggest threats to mankind by governments across the globe. And in Matthew 24:7, he says, there will be pestilences and disease epidemics. But the worst of the worst in this time period, this last 3.5 years. Notice, pandemic infections, 1074. Worst pandemic ever, 1260. That's showing you in this last 1260-day period cut short, the last 3.5 years, the 42 moons, whatever you want to call it, like the great Kohan Yehuda showed us last time, whatever you want to call it, that's what it's talking about right there. It's going to be the worst ever. Now, can we have the next slide? And then we've got the STDs. In the third book of Israel, chapter 13, verse 148, pastor says, if you think you can have a heart attack at 18 years old, if you think you can't have a heart attack at 18 years old, you're crazy. If enough chlamydia gets into your heart right now and makes lesions, and then syphilis gets in, you could have a heart attack at age 18, 17, or even 12. In fact, boys at very young ages are falling dead on the athletic fields from these very things. They have the cuts in their hearts. They have the carnage, damage to their hearts. It starts with the clouding of the mind. Starts with the clouding of the mind. Notice, clouding of the mind, 1074. Because this is the teaching that comes. It's tagged. Pastor's teachings are tagged, okay? With that number, 1074. He taught us all about these. This is back in the third book of Israel. You remember the sermons he gave on these STDs. Taught us all about the damage that they do. STDs are spreading. 1074. There was a recent article. And 666. Notice that. Okay? There was a recent article in Laredo showing it was really bad there. It's like spiked tremendously. But also notice Abilene, Texas STDs. 1074. Pastor's been teaching us about these things all these years. And then the cancer, cervical cancer. Notice, cancer of the cervix. Pastor taught us about these things. 1074. Okay? It's not a coincidence. We go to the next slide. These are the things that are causing what you see right here. The real cause of global warming, for her sins have reached into the heavens. Notice, sins reached heavens. 1074. These STDs that are destroying the firmament, you know, the microorganisms that are there to protect the planet. Now, that's not the only thing we're going to see in this last 3.5 years. Can I have my next slide? I remember a song way back in the early, earlier in the House of Yahweh history, Death on Every Side. Notice, there's going to be death on every side, Psalm 91. Okay, all around us, people are going to be dropping dead. Okay, death on every side, 1074. Black death is in the air, 1074. And remember what Pastor told us, that black death decimated Europe back in the 1300s and almost totally wiped out a lot of the hierarchy there in that Catholic Church. And people were scratching their heads trying to figure out how these supermen were all dying that they thought were so holy. Okay, and it wounded this Catholic Church. That word wound means plague. Just go look it up. Wound means plague. And then notice, there's going to be plagues all around, 1074. There's going to be an atmosphere of death. An atmosphere of death, 1074. Now, if you think the vaccinations are going to help, that's another depopulation tactic. Let me prove it to you. Can I have my next slide? Vaccination, 666. But there's also another number on the right there. It says 956. That's actually my area code in Laredo. I'll show you that in a minute. That doesn't mean that I'm going to show you why. 956 means a missile, dart, or javelin, and it means needle. A needle. What do they use to give these vaccinations? Yeah, they use a needle. So if you think it's a coincidence that that's 666, I don't think I'd be wanting to line up for any of these, do you? No, I don't think I'd want that needle shot in my arm. Now, there is a needle you can take. Let me show you the needle that you can take. Can I have my next slide? On page 120 of the character unit, you see these individuals that have negative character traits lined up to get their shot. They're coming to some places, you know, that Yahweh's established, you know, like the peaceful solution in Laredo with the 956 area code. They're coming to get that positive character needle injection. And if you notice, PSEEP's Laredo branch has that tag, and so do all you peaceful solution teachers here in Laredo. You see that? Or here in Abilene. You see that? PSEEP teachers at Able, 1074. That's the vaccination that will save you. Get some positive character injected in these classes. Get to these classes because it's the only thing. You know, the teachers are going to shine. Daniel said so in Daniel 12. The teachers are going to shine. Can I have my next slide? Then, in Matithya 24:7, he talks about the earthquakes in place after place. And we see the storms increasing. We just saw Hurricane Michael hit the coast there right after Pope Francis prayed that everybody prays to Michael, the archangel, for saving to save them. What an amazing coincidence, right? We got his Michael. I don't think I'd be praying to that one. The Michael, the Micaiah that you need to be, you have the Micaiah here. The Micaiah is the one who rules as Yahweh rules. In Daniel 12:1, you know, the Micaiah that will stand up, you know, this priest at Abel that will stand up. You don't need a hurricane to help you. It looked like a nuclear bomb hit that coast, by the way, if you look at the before and after pictures of Hurricane Michael. So many earthquakes, 1074. Can I have my next slide? And just a few weeks ago, we saw a megaquake. This article came out about the Ring of Fire, and it says megaquake fears after planet shaken by 144 earthquakes in 7 days. Notice, megaquake fear, 666. Venezuela was hit hard in that earthquake, one of those quakes. Notice, Venezuela, 666. And remember, Trinidad and Tobago, which is right off the coast of Venezuela, also got hit in that earthquake. Venezuela, 666. I'm not going to go into why, but it goes back to who inhabited that land and stole the land from the indigenous peoples that were there, also known as the Catholic Church that came over to wreak their havoc. We'll go to that later. Let's go to the next slide. And notice it says, and because iniquity, the breaking of Yahweh's law will abound, the love of the many will grow cold. Look, law breaking abounds, 1074. You have my next slide? It shows the sun is going to be darkened. Okay? Sun will be darkened, 1074. Can I have my next slide? Somebody's going to get a hold of these nuclear launch codes. 1074. Wow, what a coincidence. We're not going to get them. I'm just telling you, this is who they're after. Shows this generation, but it also shows who they're targeting. But it won't work. Can I have my next slide? Notice what will be taking place. Nuclear bomb blasts, 1074, a massive bomb launch. 1074. It's going to darken the sun on this planet, okay, where all hope of life will be gone. And then, not only on this planet, can I have my next slide? But in the heavens. Pastor wrote about this in the Mark of the Beast part 2, where he said, Yahweh does not utter his voice until after the earthquake, and the earthquake occurs at the same time the heavens tremble, Star Wars, and the sun and moon are darkened. And he says, notice Revelation 6:13, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth. The star wars that are being anticipated at this very time will result in the star wars during the time of the end. And notice, who came up with a Space Force recently? Trump Space Force, 1074. A bomb in heaven, 666. Remember, this is all foretold in the Mark of the Beast. Can I have my next slide? But I got some great news for you, House of Yahweh. He says in Matthew 24:34, he says, "Truly I say to you, that generation will not pass away." And notice that word generation is number 1074, but that saying is 613. Why would that be? Because they will live through this last and greatest nuclear burning because they keep the laws of Yahweh and become separate from sin. Notice the laws of Yahweh, 1074, shunning all evil. 1074, like Eo, remember he shunned all evil. He had nothing to do with the evil like the gods, Genesis 3:5. He didn't watch television. He didn't read worldly magazines and books. He fed his mind this material that we need to be immersing ourselves in right now and getting ready because we got to have a strong mind because you're going to see all out hell breaking loose on this earth. Okay? Go to the next slide. I'm going to show you. He's talking about you donkeys or colts. He says, "Truly I say to you, that generation will not pass." You see that middle number there? 3678 means a little donkey. A little donkey. Remember, a colt of the donkey. That's who you are, House of Yahweh. That generation will not pass away. The 1074, you see that tag there to the left? That tag, that mark, that sign that Yahweh's given in these last days, he's showing this generation, this tag number, you need to hitch yourself to this. You need to get in this car here, this van. You need to get inside, and it's going to be a wild and bumpy ride. But remember, he said at the end, he saw the ocean, right? You know, it's going to be bumpy going through this cross section here, this last 3.5 years. But House of Yahweh, we can do this, okay? We can do this, but we've got to buckle down. We've got to get our mind on these teachings, and we've got to allow the greatest teacher in the world to make us white through these teachings. We've got to do it. We've got to take the teaching, or we just won't make it through. It's just there's no other way to make it. So with that, if you'd all please stand, it's been a great honor and opportunity to speak to you today. And if you'd all give a warm welcome to one of Yahweh's great teachers, the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom, please be seated. Now, what Kohen Benjamin told you, one thing you got to remember, this is not a country club. There won't be swimming pools, there won't be cushy chairs to sit in, and you won't be laying around saying, "Oh, this is the life," and doing nothing. The total opposite is the way it's going to be. But it's like it said, you see the goal ahead, it is attainable, and if you want it bad enough, you can have it. And we're supposed to be saying, if it's not forever, we don't want it at all. So what better could it be than forever? But while I'm sitting up here talking to you, please turn to the book of Yahweh, the Exodus 19, verse 13, on pages 60 and 61. Where it is right at where the page changes. And part of the verse is on 60 and part of the verse is on 61. Now, we're talking about people that don't want to do the work, that don't want to believe, that don't want to listen, that don't want to obey those who have the rule over them. We're talking about people, no matter how much you talk to them, they're going to reject what you say. And for some of us, that's been up to 40 years already or more. But it says, "Let every man be convinced in his own mind." And it says there are going to be 3 out of 4 that are going to convince themselves they don't want this. And that's what I want to talk about is how to deal with this problem. Exodus 19:13. and not a hand is to be laid on him. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Oh, yes. Get out your dirty, hairy 44 magnums and your rifles and get ready to blow heads off, right? He shall surely be shot or stoned with arrows. I said it backwards, but still you get the point, I pray. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they may go up to the mountain. First you're going to shoot them, then you take them up to the mountain. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? The word stone that is written in Exodus 19:13 traces back to the Hebrew word sakal. This word is listed on page 457 of a comprehensive etymological dictionary of the Hebrew language for readers of English by Ernest Klein, which shows this word means to root out, to extirpate. That's not exterminate, extirpate. E-X-T-I-R-P-A-T-E. It means to disinherit, to weed out. Now they start cleaning things up. The words shot with arrows that are written in Exodus 19:13 trace back to the Hebrew word yara. This word is listed on pages 336 and 337 in PDF of Volume 2 of the Lingua Sacra by David Levi. That's a three-book lexicon written by this Hebrew man, which shows this word means to throw, to cast down, to cast into the sea, to cast into mire. Have not obeyed the voice of one's teachers, the law of Yahweh, words of the law. The words, when the ram's horn sounds a long blast that are written in Exodus 19:13 are translated from the Hebrew word yabal, a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, pages 205 and 531 shows this word means able. The word mountain that is written in Exodus 19:13 is translated from the Hebrew word har. The Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Klein, Volume 3, pages 584 and 585, and the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, Volume 1, page 824, show this word means mountain of the house of Yahweh, perpetuity, a congregation or group, and 613 commands, positive and prohibitive. If you do them, they are deeds of merit or righteousness. So this is what Exodus 19:13 is saying. In conjunction, it was almost talked about here just 5 minutes ago. Whether man or animal, not a hand is to be laid on them. They must surely be rooted out and cast out because they have been rejected by Yahweh. Remember, disinherit? Yahweh has rejected these people. They have not obeyed the voice of their teachers. Thus, they do not obey the laws of Yahweh. They must not be permitted to live at or go up to the house of Yahweh at Abel, who are the people who keep all of Yahweh's law, which if one does them are deeds of righteousness and bring eternal life. Do you want a thief, an adulterer, a murderer to have eternal life and be among you? Can you think of the horror and destruction someone like that could bring? It is something Satan loves every minute of. But we should not hate, but deplore and abhor continually. And remember this. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, put these in your notes, please. If anyone who has come here has been blessed by Yahweh especially, and some great things have been done for them, including mighty acts of Yahweh himself, and I've seen this. I've seen people that got burned to a crisp in a fire. And Yahweh saved them. But they're not here. It says, for these people there is no coming back. Because they would not accept Yahweh. They accepted their own understanding or what some demon was telling them. Often through some individual that should not be here either. And before you know it, a lot of people heard this evil talk and they fell for it. But there is no coming back for someone like this. I have seen even priests leave here and they left behind a loving wife. And as a married man myself, I find that absolutely unbelievable that they would do something like that. But they did. So remember, Exodus 19:13 says, do not have anything to do with these people. They're to leave. If they want to go, let them go. But don't try to go to them and try to tell them to come back or try to reason with them. The pastor, led by Yahweh, has chosen individuals to do this job. If they leave, tell the priest, hey, they took off. And that priest will tell pastor, and he'll have somebody try to talk to them if the need arises. But don't go visiting with them. Don't go talking to them. Most certainly don't go out and eat with them or anything like that. Because whatever you do in secret like that, Yahweh makes sure the whole place is going to know before it's over with. And Yahweh be praised, and may the people that walk this way repent of their ways. Now, if you will, let's go to the next one. Turn to Genesis. The thing is, we know there are people going to act like this. Yeshua said it could be 3 out of 4. Could be. I'm saying it will be. But then Yahweh, in his wisdom, when he wrote his law in his plan, had a judgment for this problem already in place. Turn to Genesis 3:15 on page 3. Genesis 3:15 on page 3. Where we will read this, Genesis 3:15 on page 3. And it says about the same thing in any Bible, or if you're using a Bible. But if you got the book of Yahweh, please go to page 3. And Yahweh says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. In other words, I guess it's time for big time wrestling. I will put enmity between you and the woman. That could be your wife. And between your seed and her seed, to make it look like that marriages are nothing but a hate relationship, doesn't it? He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. It's really illogical, isn't it, the way it's written? The words I will put that are written in Genesis 3:15 are translated from the Hebrew word ashit. That's Aleph, Sheen, Yod, Tav. The Lingua Sacra by David Levi, volume 3, page 651 in PDF says this word means that have set themselves against me round about, that fought against me. If you're going to fight against Yahweh, who's going to win this one? You better believe it. The word enmity that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word of Ayaba. This word is listed on page 70 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means enemy, hater, despiser, the despiser, and blasphemer of Yahweh. A single enemy collectively to a hostile people. When someone wants to leave here, don't they always want to try to draw others to go with them? Don't be a fool and go out there and try to talk to them. Those people are not your friends. They are your enemy. And it's not anything personal. It is what Yahweh himself said. So remember that. It's not me, pastor or any priest or any brother or sister telling you these things. It's Yahweh who said it first. We're only passing on what he told us to tell you. The word woman that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word ashat. The Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Koel Rambam Gunner, volume 1, page 43, and Revelation 12, verse 1, that is scripture, interprets scripture, shows this word means people, or the house of Yahweh, distinguished people. Are you not distinguished? I thought they said you are a chosen people, a treasure of a nation, a royal priesthood. The word bruise that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word shufak. This word is listed on page 1430 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius First, which this word means to lavish the shame. In other words, you get really put in your place, whether it was right or not. The word head that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word rash. This word is listed on page 1271 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to conquer. Remember Revelation 6, to conquer and to conquer. Satan is trying to conquer everything. If she can't have it, you can't have it. That's her attitude. To conquer. The word bruise that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word tashufanu. This word is listed on page 1433 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Judas first. It shows this word means a sly or prudent one. Very sneaky. A snake, even. We all know who the snake is, don't we? The word heal that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word okab. This word is listed on page 1084 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius first, which shows this word means behind the back. So this is the true judgment of Yahweh. For you are an enemy of Yahweh, who with your followers have set yourselves to fight against me, causing enmity between you and my people, the house of Yahweh, and between your seed and their seed. They shall overcome you by bringing you and your followers to utter and everlasting shame, while you do the deceitful things behind their backs. Backstabbers is one, as one Bible calls it. And this is repeated by Yahshua in Yochanan chapter 8, verses 44 and 45, where he said, "You are of your mother the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning, and whatever she wants, you're going to do." So what should you do? If you have any sense at all, listen to the teachers and do the exact opposite. When Satan says do this, do the exact opposite. If she says keep Sunday, nope. Saturday is okay with me. That's the Sabbath. Using their words, of course, the seventh-day Sabbath begins at sundown on the day of preparation, day 6, and ends at sundown on day 7 of that particular 7-day count. But the point is, the people that leave here, Yahweh said they have rejected him. He told Samuel that. He said, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. And we priests would feel the same way. Okay, if that's what you want to do, you're going to do it. But don't blame me. You're rejecting the one that told me to tell you. And the problem lies with you. But some people still want to go out there and talk to these people. That's going on. The judgment is you stay away from them. The judgment is they're going to destroy themselves. They bring all this on themselves. We didn't tell them to leave. They left on their own. But let's see what Yahweh says the judgment carried out is going to end up. For you, it's a judgment in your, as the world calls, favor. In other words, the judgment ends up being on your side. Turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. On page 729, Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. This verse is loaded. Matthew 3, verse 9. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that Yahweh is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Well, has anybody seen any of those rocks out in the parking lot all of a sudden jump up and start preaching? I haven't either. But let's see what it really says. The word is able that are written in Matthew 3:9 are translated from the Hebrew word gabar. This word is listed on page 114 of volume 1 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Christopher Leo, which shows this word means is able, an upright man, a child was brought forth. The words raise up that are written in Matthew 3:9 are translated from the Hebrew word kum. This word is listed on page 1330 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Joshua, which shows this word means to stand up. The word these stones that are written in Matthew 3 verse 9 are translated from the Hebrew word aban. This word is listed on pages 15 and 16 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius first, and page 6 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown and Driver and Briggs, which shows that word means foundation of a house. Yahweh, referring to males and females, in other words, everybody, and Abel. So this is what Matthew 3 verse 9 is saying. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Oh yeah, yeah, I left that house of Yahweh, but we're still serving Yahweh. Well, you're going to find out you wish you had. For I say to you that Yahweh is able to bring forth righteous children of Abraham who stand up and raise their hands to Yahweh at Abel and are the very foundation of the house of Yahweh. But there's more to it than that. I have a minute or two, so I turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 through 46. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read a verse or two of it, because the conclusion of this chapter is very important. Let's look at verse 39, but put 30 through 46 in your note, but let's read through verse 39 first. It's on page 951. This will be the closing scripture. And all these having obtained a righteous report through the faith, have not received the promise. Talking about Moshe, Shem, the great prophets, the great patriarchs of old, apostles. And all these having obtained a righteous report through the faith, have not received the promise. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us, that they without us would not be made perfect. You are the foundation. Except the foundation be laid, said Yahweh, you are that foundation. And that foundation must enter the kingdom so that every one of these great people can come with you. This is why you must not talk to anyone that is not part of the house of Yahweh, whether they've never come, unless they are seeking Yahweh, and pastor will tell you who he wants to talk to them, or they decided to leave over some of the most lame brain excuses I could think of and you would ever hear. But if you stay the foundation, continue building yourself to be the foundation, learning Yahweh's word, learning Yahweh's way, and saying no to these people when they invite you to come see them, things will get done. The foundation must not fall. It must be strong. And you're not strong if you go out there and talk to someone that left the house of Yahweh. This foundation is going to be built in the kingdom more. It's going to be the foundation of everything. They can't come in until you come in. So you've got a job ahead. And I pray to Father Yahweh that many of you jump on the bandwagon, as they call it, and be a part of that job. It doesn't matter. Pastor talked about some of the jobs he had, like cleaning the restrooms and things like that. Is that not just as important as me typing on a computer? Because aren't both needed? So therefore, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because they gave the same job to the prophet and apostle who came before you. I'm sure just about every prophet and apostle at one time or another had to clean a restroom or wash dishes or mop or sweep a floor. Whether you're male or female, I'm talking about everybody learns how to be a decent human being in the house of Yahweh. Remember, all of this is summed up in the second greatest commandment in the law, according to Yahshua: love your neighbor as yourself. That's being the foundation. And part of loving your neighbor is teaching peace. Part of loving your neighbor is giving them the things they need. Part of loving your neighbor is making sure they are fed if they need it, they are clothed, and if they have to use the facilities, so to speak, is clean, and they don't get sick at their stomach from the smell. Your job doing that, even though it sounds the worst job of all, and we've done it, I've done it. When you get married, you're going to do it all the time, whether you're male or female. Don't fool yourself. But may Yahweh bless your understanding of all these things. And if you would please stand. If I can get my papers here. I turn the services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, moving on into the news, we start looking at these new gods newly come up. And it was reported this last week about this new case they're comparing to polio, but they're saying they don't know what's causing it. They don't know what's going on with it. Watch what's being done when the doctor says, well, there's only really been like 129 cases. Well, that means 129 people suffered and are suffering. One person is too much according to the law of Yahweh, and that's why the law should be taught. But there's no care, there's no concern, and they make it sound like it's nothing. And then the world, you know, they have these surveys, and they always go out into this world that everyone wants to make look like is a pleasure to be in, and they tell you what the happiest countries in the world are, and they're always the northern European countries, such as Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Finland. So they went in to talk to these people to find out 1 in 4 people said they're miserable. They're in depression. They just don't like it. So, you know, that's the happiness of the world, I guess. You can be joyful 1 minute and hate life the next. And that's what the world has to offer. And then in Africa, this is very important to notice this because Pastor brought this years ago. And it's blindness. It's going through the continent of Africa, specifically Kenya, that has over 500,000 suffering of this right now. And then Senegal, another African country. They're talking about how their eyelids are flipping inside out. So they're flipping back, so they're rubbing up against the eye. Pastor brought years ago, that's syphilis. And it's rubbing the eye. Now, one of the doctors tells the man that you could have just washed your eyes and prevented this. But if you watch, it goes right into saying that the water he would have used is contaminated. Why? Because moisture spreads uncleanness. You have to have moisture to spread these things. But they're showing how this is being transferred in the water. They're putting it in their eyes, and they're suffering from it. So what is the United Nations? What is the United States doing? Well, of course, they're doing what they always do. They sell them corneas from dead people, and they're making money off of them. Now, the UN comes out and says, these people are costing us so much money. So the UN is saying, they're not saying what they need to do to help. They're literally saying that these people are costing us this much money. And when you come out and talk about how much money these people are costing you, don't forget the climate agreement. Whatever you do, don't forget the climate agreement. Think about that, because we'll get to that in the news also. And then Hurricane Michael coming through down in Florida. The one thing to notice, one is the destruction that takes place. It's amazing what microbes can do when they're sick and things get up into the atmosphere that should not be there. The amount of force that these small things that we can't even see, the amount of energy that is generated is enormous, and it's mind-blowing. But watch the man at the end who says, I lost my house, I lost my car, I don't have any money, and I got nowhere to go, and I got no way to go. Pastor just told us before the feast ended, he showed us, form a plan, figure out what you got to do in case something occurs, and know how you're going to do it. Well, this man doesn't know that, and he doesn't really know nuclear war is coming, but he still feels completely hopeless in what's going on in his life. And he's out in the world. He's out there where it's supposed to be great. You're supposed to be able to enjoy it. Well, he's miserable because he just lost everything that he worked his whole life for, and he lost it in one day. And then Pope Francis accepting Cardinal Wolfe's resignation. Remember what they called the Bishop of Bling, who was taking money from the Catholic, the money that they were bringing in, so to speak, and he was spending it on his house, and they totally got rid of him. They suspended him because he was stealing money. But yet all of these bishops that have molested children and are being accused of it and are being found guilty of it, they have to offer their resignation. The Catholic Church is not forcing them to resign. So you see the identity of morality, or the lack thereof, by decision-making and the choices going on. And then the Iranian-U.S. fight taking place in the international court. We show some of that, where Iran is actually taking it to the international court to try to get their $2 billion the United States has frozen. Now imagine that. The United States actually froze money that everyone agrees belongs to Iran. But they froze it so Iran cannot have their money. So is showing once again the United States has the authority to do so. And then the United States, their weaponry, the computerized weaponry, they're bringing out that years ago all of these parts were bought from China. And now they're saying that China installed microchips into the weaponry so they could actually fight against the United States later on down the road, which they're saying now is later on down the road. But watch what they're doing. They're putting into the minds of the people, we're going to have to get really aggressive with China. We're going to have to do some things with China because they're getting out of hand. And really what's taking place is this trade war that, if you haven't noticed or you don't know it, if you have a business, you've seen it, your letters have already started coming in. I'm getting them by the stacks right now, telling you that product is going up 25% January 1st. And that's to the wholesalers. So we as the retailers are thus that go purchase things, we're going to pay 25% more for things unless something is worked out. Pastor said years ago, these wars were going to start with trade wars. And then we look into Idlib in Syria. It's been quiet in the news about it very much, but the deadline is October 15th. That's when Russia set the deadline so that all of these things need to be dealt with so they could have a buffer zone to push out all aggression. Keep in mind, the American military has a station there, and they're not leaving. Russia considers that part of the aggression, part of what's feeding it. So pay close attention to that. And then watch what the UN did with their climate change. Remember, they talked about how much money that these people are costing us in Africa. They say right now may be too late to act. Right now it could be too late. We may not be able to make a change. And notice at the very end, he says it's time for the governments to start making these tough choices. Well, the tough choice is depopulation. You need to decide who you're going to get rid of, and you need to start doing it. You need to get rid of the people that are costing money, that are not making money. They're not paying tribute. Well, that's what they're wanting to do. And with that in mind, I also want to show you, as pastors brought out for many years, see if we can get this in here real quick. You see Merkel and Abbas back two-state solution and phone conversation after Chancellor's Israel visit. She just went to Israel. She met with Mahmoud Abbas. Both Mahmoud Abbas and Angela Merkel, who's the Chancellor of Germany, is saying the two-state solution is the only way. And then we have, of course, the Russian Orthodox Church forced to end the Eucharist ties with Constantinople. Now, I want to read you. This is what the Russian Kirill, he is the head patriarch in Russia. This is what he has to say. Constantinople, now that's the leadership there. It's known as Istanbul now. That's where Patriarch Bartholomew is at. Constantinople, in fact, has declared it entered into a canonical communion with a schismatic and with an excommunicated person. It's speaking of Kiev. This is all over an argument over the Church of Kiev, which Russia says is underneath their authority, and Constantinople is saying that they're going to bring it in underneath its authority. Well, it says, in the meantime, priest Alexander Volkov, now he's the spokesman for the Patriarch of Moscow, the Russian Kirill, said that the decision was catastrophic, adding that the Patriarch of Constantinople, that's Bartholomew, has already crossed the red line. In response, the head of the press office for the canonical Ukraine Orthodox Church said the decision to grant Kiev's request for independent church was against all law, and it was up to Ukraine's synod to decide on the next steps, adding the church did not rule out excommunicating Patriarch Bartholomew. Now, to excommunicate Patriarch Bartholomew means nothing because he doesn't recognize them. If you remember, the Russian Kirill said that the Patriarch Bartholomew of Constantinople is following the Pope, and that's his division. He wants to be like the Catholic Church, and he doesn't want to be the Russian Kirill, is saying, no, that's not what we're going to do. So there's an argument. You see division. You see these 10 kings starting to look at each other, and of course they're bringing in the Catholic Church with it. So it'll be very interesting, but pay close attention because we're literally seeing prophecy take place before our very eyes. If we could please play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh, they're all yours. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're scrambling to try to get everything in here this morning, and I wanted this last part here because I said we need to tell the Vatican what an angel, the words they translated into angel. And then the Ark of the Covenant, we're going to take a picture of the two Ark
that they call angels and send to them. They don't even know what the Ark of the Covenant, I mean the Archangel, you know, the Archangels, that's these, right here, right there in front. They don't have sense. They don't have any scriptural sense. They're scripturally literate, so they have no understanding in this. I was rushing too to get this another thing in that I'm going to have the great Kohan Benjamin bring the next time we speak. Now this is a seal. Oh yeah, that too. Let's see, where's the other? Well, I'll get to it. This right here is this so-called polio. That it's a different kind of polio. And it's a bovine polio. It's caused by viruses that the viruses is a combination. If you remember the information that I brought you on the prions, which is a false protein that gets into man. The false protein is caused by STDs that were put into animals by rape. The prion that the deer are carrying up north, this right here that I have in my hand, you know, is some of it. I've got more here that goes with this. I told our great deacon, Yada Kimball, that I'd like for him to bring this and keep bring a little at a time because there's too much to bring at once. There's no way you could grasp it, but it's something that needs to be brought. But the nervous system is now that's a track record that you get from the prions and the mad cow disease. It attacks the nervous system. Well, that attacks the nervous system. This latest polio attacks the nervous system. So we know that it's a part of chlamydia. If you remember chlamydia, I brought this to you years ago on the old stage over there, and I told you this was a dangerous disease because it causes lesions. Everywhere it goes in your body, it causes lesions, which lets other viruses, microorganisms, into your bloodstream. We see that in this same disease. They're trying to make out like they're going to find a sure cure in just a little while, but I don't think they're going to. They've been fighting it for years and didn't know it. But the Center for Disease Control now has told them, I think that's all one, Center for Disease Control has told them that this is in Michigan alone. They have a big herd of cattle that's got this, and they were making out like that was the only one, but the Center for Disease Control said no. This is the 73rd batch or herd that we have. That we're working with right now in testing and trying to find cures. I told the men I wanted it in this morning because I know this time of year deer season is open up north, and I know I used to do that. Now this warning here It says, be sure and have your wild deer tested. Even if you can't find any signs of sickness, be sure and have them tested before you consume them. It's a pretty bad thing. One other thing that I wanted in was this, the gematria, theological word book. We found it yesterday it's one of the grand books that we, David and I used at ACU when we were going there every night, five evenings a week, and working for a few hours, getting copies. We'd take a pocket full of quarters and spend it on their copy machine. They had books there that they never used. We're the only ones that used them. And then when we put the Book of Yahweh out, we put the books that we used in translating this book in the front. They're still listed there. People went to Calling to find out where we got these books, and someone told them it was ACU, which they called ACU, and sure enough, to prove it or find out where they could get them. And that's when they found out we'd been using them. We had their permission. We paid for the copy, so it was all legal. But they took the books out after that and put them behind closed doors and where no one else can use them. I don't know what benefit it'd be. What they should have done, they should have joined us in what we were doing, but they didn't. The book, theological word book of the Old Testament, it has the... I hope I have that. It has the words for what you're going through right now. The word priest, I don't want to get into a study of that right now because it's a long, long study, and it'll take some time for you to understand it, but in maybe in 10 words or less, Moshe, he was a mediator. Aaron became a mediator working with Moshe. Now, Yahweh said, I will make you a kingdom of priests. I'll make you into a kingdom of priests if you will follow these laws. Well, there's no way he can make you into a kingdom of priests unless you do follow those laws and prove it to heaven and earth that you will follow those laws. But a mediator, a priest, that he's wanting to make everyone here a priest and a priestess. He wants you to be a priest. He wants you to be a priestess in the house. He wants you to be a mediator. That's what a priest is. A priest is a worker. Samuel was a great mediator. But Samuel grew old. And that was the bad part of being, getting life cut off at a certain age because the righteous dies and his job stops and to find another righteous person, or set person that Yahweh had picked went on and on and on. It's like hunting a needle in a haystack. Yahweh knew who they were, and he would send them to be a mediator, the prophets. They were mediators. And Yahweh would send the prophet as Samuel, to a certain locality and say, go and tell these people this. And, of course, they would go. Well, he was a mediator between him and Yahweh. This was in the beginning with Yahweh. Now, don't swiftly put this out of your mind, what I'm about to tell you right now. It's really important that you understand this. The plan. Yahweh says in Yochanan 1, he said, this plan is Yahweh's, and it's with Yahweh. Well, now, in other scriptures, we see that in actual fact, it's sitting right on a sea of glass right in front of him. And, of course, he showed it to certain ones. He showed that to certain ones, and they wrote about it. Yochanan being the last to see it. Daniel saw it, and he saw it in action. So did Yochanan, but Daniel saw it in action, and he saw the two witnesses there and talked to one of them in linen. This linen, the seal of Yahweh, is a white linen, clean and white, which is pure righteousness. The white linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now that number for that pureness and that whiteness, now this will be elaborated on soon in the coming sermons, but it carries our tag number. As Revelations 90 was written in 96, but this pure linen is clean and white. It carries the number 1074. Now, in Revelation 7 now, he says, hurt not the trees. Remember the word trees. If you don't know what the word trees is, you can't understand the scripture. Hurt not the trees till we have sealed our father's servants in their foreheads. So that's in their mind. And your forehead, it said, is what guides you daily to doing what, either righteousness or evil. Whatever you're going to do, it guides you into doing it. You think, well, I want to go to Six Flags. Well, that's 666 flags, but it guides you. It guides you up there and gets you involved in all the 666s and brings you back or kills you on the way back or kills you on the way there. You know, but anyway, that's your guiding part of your brain that stays with you right now and makes you talk or laugh or so forth. Well, that carries this. That carries the message from me to you, and stores it in your forehead, so you can make a choice. Use similitudes as Genesis, the starting of Genesis. Then use these similitudes then to guide what you let this brain talk you into, because suggestions can be put in this part of the brain. Suggestions that Satan uses. He used it on Judas, Iscariot, to betray Yeshua. It was put in his mind by Satan. That's what the scripture shows. Well, anyway, there is the number, and I think you can see these numbers here. Now, I couldn't get those other numbers brought up. Here's another one, if you can see it there. And that number 2022, of course, that will be clarified next week, but that's Hebrew, means mountain or promotion. But keep this in mind so you can understand the trees. Till we have sealed our father's people in their foreheads. Yeshua said a tree that don't produce righteous fruit is going to be burned. And he said, an evil tree cannot produce righteous fruit, neither can a righteous tree bring forth evil fruit. We can't bring forth evil fruit. You couldn't do that. The tuberculosis that affects the nervous system, it would be a disaster for you right now if you get this, in your body, because it affects your nervous system, which affects your brain. If you can see this right here, this is the inside of a deer's body that has this mad cow mixture. It's a mixture of mad cow, but it's a mixture of STDs. These are the gods that have come down to us over the thousands of years that have broken because of breaking Yahweh's laws. If you see those little bumps all over the inside of that body, well, it's talking about having this tested if you get one, even if it looks great. Well, these we'll be covering more of in the future as Yada brings a little from time to time. He brings it from time to time. Right now, we're training mediators. Okay, keep this in your mind now. It's very important to understand this. We're training mediators. We're training people for the kingdom that Yahweh will send out. Now, this is where you get the word sent, the one sent by Yahweh, whom he trained. Abel was trained. Who trained Abel? Where did he get his training? Now, this is a serious question. If you understood what I brought so far, you would understand it. Daniel got the same training from the same people. And this is the vision that Yahweh has on that he can see there, and he can send this to anyone he wants to, this vision. And they can talk to him, and they'd be thinking they're talking to a person right there in front of them, when in actual fact it would be a vision or a dream. Both are mentioned in the scriptures, a vision or a dream. Well, they're the ones then that take Yahweh's message. And if you look at verse 22 and verse 14, he said, blessed are those who keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life. Now, you're talking about trees here. Trees, the tree of life. That tree of life, of course, is spoken of back here in Genesis, the tree. You might have right to the tree of life. Genesis 2 and verse 9, it's spoken of. And then he shows also that this tree of knowledge of righteousness and evil, with the evil mixed with it, is also put there. Now, they rejected the tree of life, remember? That's Genesis 3. They rejected it, but they accepted the tree of evil. So they took themselves away from this tree of life and accepted instead Satan's message, Satan and her gods. Yahweh said the tree, that this plan was with him in the beginning. In the beginning, he created the earth. And in the beginning, before he created mankind, his sons left their first estate and came to the earth. And you think about these dinosaurs, they knew Yahweh's plan to bring forth man. Now think about a surprise. You know, if Yahweh had created man and put him there on earth with all those dinosaurs, I bet there's laughing up their sleeves, you know. Now this is the tree of evil that they're that the world is following right now. The gods, evil like the gods. And they presented themselves as evil before Yahweh created mankind. Well, here he says, blessed are those that do his will, that keep his laws, that is, practice his laws. That word keep, if you'd replace it with practice, that's what's shown to you in 1 Yochanan 3, verse 4, 7, 8, and 10. Practice, those who practice the laws of Yahweh. Now, the theological word book, you can't see this, I didn't get time to enlarge it, but it'll be brought to you with a slide program. This slide program is the thing. It helps you with these numbers, and you can see it right there on the screen and write it down, or when it's played later, you can see it again. But the theological word book, we use it constantly. And that and Brown and Driver, Brown Driver's got this same thing, by the way, but they date back years and years and years. And they were written for this generation, because I don't think they really knew what they were doing when they put this number, but our number is put in those books. My tag number is put in those books. If you can see it right there, that number is 1074. Now, this is in the word book itself. I didn't put it there, and it has it in several places right there. I didn't put it there. I didn't write these books. They were written by other people, but they were written like Revelations. They were written for us. And the house of Yahweh wasn't established when this book was written. The house of Yahweh wasn't established when a lot of books was written that we use. The churches and institutional learning centers, they lay them aside and say, you know, that's an ancient book. How quaint, you know, and they pass on to something else. Not knowing it, they just walk by a bend of knowledge that the house of Yahweh grabbed up as quickly as we possibly could. Well, last week now, we started with the trees in Matthew 7 and Yahshua talking about the trees. And then here, Revelations 22, blessed are those who keep his laws because they have right to that tree of life that was cut off in Genesis. Cut off in Genesis. Didn't exist again. Didn't exist again. Mediators were sent to the people showing them they were wrong. Sacrifices, which we have got to get into that a little bit later on, but the sacrifices was given to Moshe, the mediator Moshe, to offer these sacrifices as a reminder that they're sinning. You're still sinning. You've got to go offer this to the priest, the mediator, which will take this for you and send up incense along with prayers that you might be forgiven. Well, you can be forgiven, but you don't get your life back. The tree of life is Yahshua. It comes with Yahshua's birth, who had to accept the total tree of life, not a mixture of righteousness and evil. Maybe that'll be enough. Right now, I hope. But you can see how deep this thing is. And if it's taken lightly, you won't remember. If you don't rehearse it, you won't remember. And of course, I've wasted my time with you. If you take me seriously right now and you start putting your time into studies and stop wasting your time, make every minute count. Even if you're reading the book of Yisrael, Run the book of Israel through the gematria. You'll find my tag number. My tag number he also gave to Abel. Yes, my tag number, Abel, carries my tag number that would be given to me in the last days on my car. Now that's the wisdom that Yahweh has and how fussy he is about getting his way when it comes to his people and what he had planned before the world was. All of this was set up before the world was. It's set up in front of him, and he could show it to whomever he wanted to. Then he would send from this display of workers that he has sitting in front of him on the throne. That's what Yahshua saw. And then he gave Yochanan, that is, he sent his messenger to Yochanan. He didn't go himself. He sent his messenger. The Pope is praying to him now. He doesn't realize it. I'm not going to answer his prayers. What is an archangel? You got two of them right here. Ark. There's two. If the Vatican would take a great look at that picture in front of this podium, you'll know what you're praying to. You'll probably quickly change it if you believe the scriptures, but that's what you're praying to. Well, in Genesis 3 now, of the gods, they cut themselves off. Then Deuteronomy 30:17, he sends out this warning from his mediator, Moshe, who brought forth the doctrine of life. That's doctrine of life is the laws of Yahweh. Abel had it before Moshe. Abel had these laws before Moshe. Adam was given these laws. Plainly says the tree of life, that's what it is, the laws of Yahweh, was given to Adam. Adam was taught by Abel, his son, who was a mediator between him and Yahweh. Adam was a worker in the house of Yahweh. At that time, he named all the animals, gave them all names. How long did that take, you think? After he was trained in the laws of Yahweh about the clean and the unclean animals. Now, come on. They went into the ark, remember? They didn't have the laws. How did they know they were clean and unclean then? The laws is what teaches you an animal is clean or unclean. Now, these laws were taught to Adam. Adam named all these animals here that was fit for food and unfit for food, the fish in the sea and so forth, because Adam was a real worker in the house of Yahweh. He lived many years, and he was a worker. So was Abel, a great worker that brought forth a great work that's still talked about today. Now, the work you're doing today, the work you're doing today in putting out the books of Israel, those books of Israel have the tag number that Yahweh gave to them along with the theological word book of the Old Testament. And others, praise Yahweh. Now that's how important it is. Anywhere that tag number is shown, along with the 666, it shows Yahweh's work. And Yahweh plainly said in Amosha, I won't have any other work except that is prophesied. That is prophesied. What work was prophesied in Genesis? He sends out prophets to warn people. He'd raise them up, train them, and send them out to warn the people, you're sinning. You'll never make it into the kingdom of Yahweh with these sins. And of course, they beat them and killed them and arrested them and punished them and did every rotten thing. Well, they didn't follow the warning that Yahweh gave them in Deuteronomy 30. Follow the gods and you'll perish, he said. Well, that's the same thing that Yahshua is teaching in Revelation 22. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6, he shows that a great burning is going to take place. That's the same thing Yahshua showed in Matthew 7, that the trees are going to be burned that don't bring forth righteousness. The only tree that's bringing forth righteousness, is you're sitting in it right here, right in front of it. Well, of course, the fall. Now, we got up to that Isaiah last week, and I want you to go back to Revelations again now. Revelations, and look at chapter 13. This is your guiding scripture in this series of sermons right here that almost has no ending, but it's in Revelation 13. Verse 9, if any man has an ear and can hear this, then you have a calling. That's your calling right there. And you have an opportunity to base your life on righteousness, righteous works. Remember what Yahshua said, the righteous works. I read it to you last week, Matthew 25, where he said, you visited me in prison. You fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked. And you trained me to be a mediator. Well, here he says, if any man can hear this, let him hear. Let him hear. If you can hear, if you got an ear, and you can hear it, then let him go the full way. Let him have the opportunity to take this and run with it. He who is for captivity, if you're for captivity, you're not for Yahweh. We'll go into captivity. He who is for sword, that is war, it's a must that he be killed with these wars that are coming. And brethren, they're coming pretty soon. You know, you can see what the news is saying. You can see that it's very close at hand right now. Now let's go back to Matthew 7 again. Matthew 7, that's where we left off last week with Yahshua's writings about this time period. He writes to us. He don't write to anyone else. He's high priest over the house of Yahweh. Now, he tells you in verse 12 that what the laws are, therefore all things that you want men to do to you, do to them. For this is the teaching of the laws and the prophets. That's what it is. Why does the Pope want to do away with that? Why does the Vatican want to do away with that? They hate righteousness. They hate righteousness. They're in control. They're bringing in gobs and gobs of money, which won't save them. But this is what's taking place. And they're in a bind right now. They're in trouble, because the people are turning against them, mainly because that little voice is going out to all the world from stammering lips, going to all the world. Then he says, enter in through the narrow gate, because wide is the way that leads to destruction. And few there be that find life. Few, that's verse 14. Few there be that find life. And beware of the false prophets. They bring forth evil, just like the gods. They bring forth evil. They hate Yahweh's people. They don't know why. Now, this is the influence they get in the forehead from Satan herself. They don't block it. They don't say, get behind me, like Yahshua said. When you get this, say, get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to do what you say. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Then he says here in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, teacher, will enter the kingdom of Yahweh, but those who do the will of my Father. That's the laws taught by Abel and taught by Adam. Many will say to me in that day, have we not cast out demons and done a lot of wonderful works? Verse 23, I'm going to say to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who practice iniquity. Now, that next one there, the next verse, Matthew 7 and verse 27. Look at this. He's talking about building a house. Go back to 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them, is like a wise man that built his house upon, they got rock there. Yehuda brought that out this morning. That word actually means stone, upon this stone. The stones are given to you. Everyone who overcomes will receive this white stone of acquittal. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the foundation here. It's not talking about a man that's building a house, which that could be true too, digging down to a stone and setting it on top of a stone. But he's talking about the house of Yahweh and the stone that Revelations only shows you where that is going, what that is, and it's a stone of acquittal that he says that he gave, and it carries my tag number 1074. The house of Yahweh, and the rains fell, the floods came. Yahweh said, "When you go through the waters, I'll be there with you to protect you." The winds blew. Satan is doing that with all of her might, deception going everywhere. They beat against the house. We've suffered that for quite a few years, but it did not fall, for it was founded, the foundation, this foundation he's speaking of, remember in Timothy, this foundation stands for sure. This foundation, this stone, upon this stone, speaking to Kepha, unity, I will build my house. Yehuda brought that out this morning and made it very clear. But everyone who hears, this is verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings of mine but does not do them is foolish. Yes, you look and you wonder, how could they be so foolish as to not to believe this? You know, like the nuclear bomb. We have the nuclear bomb in this generation. The things that are taking place, the scriptures, not only the scriptures, but the commentaries comment on them. And they weren't when the scripture was written, but they came in this generation where all the foolishness is taking place. And then in verse 27, he said, the rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and great was that fall of those who were foolish. Well, that's the burning, the great burning that's going to take place. That's what it's talking about. They will fall. Verse 19 shows you how. In that same chapter, look at verse 19, the last word, cast into the fire. Now, it's cast into the fire. It's the fire that's shown in Revelation 18. Revelation 17 shows you the evil tree that is bringing this about. Let's turn there and read just a little of that. Revelation 17, because he's talking about cast into the fire. It's not like there's a fire burning and he picks this person up and cast him into it. That's what they'd like for you to think from, and even lead you in that direction in the King James Version. But in Revelation 17, now, and remember, this was given to Yahshua, who sent his Moloch to talk about these things. Then in Revelation 11, he shows you who the Moloch was, who the Moloch or Molochim are. They're the archangels, but they're not an angel. It's a Molochim. 17, chapter 17 here. And there came one of the seven Molochim, who had the seven bowls, and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, and I will show you the sentence of the great whore that sets upon many waters." Well, if you look back to chapter 1, you'll see Yahweh gave this to Yahshua, the high priest. Yahshua gave it to the one sitting in front of him on the dressed in linen. That, I think that was brought out this morning, right? Dressed in linen, wearing the tag number 1074. Yahshua gave it to him. He's high priest over this house. Not the ancient houses. He just became high priest over the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh wasn't established until, as Micaiah said, the last days, that is, and Yahshua himself called it, the last generation, and he said, "I will build my house." That's Matthew 16, verse 18. "I will build my house on this stone." The stone is the white stone that he's giving to each of you. The stone that the house of Yahweh is built on, the foundation stone of the apostles and the prophets, Yahshua being the chief cornerstone. Got all that? Okay. Well, I'm going to show you now the great whore. Yahshua says, "Come, and I'll show you." That is the Molochim that he sent. Says, "Come, and I'll show you." This book here went into hiding in 70 A.Y. 70. It's taken away from the people. Get this in your mind now. For 1,500 years, they didn't have it. But it had to come back so I could use it. I think I was holding it under my arm in front of Yahweh. If I could sleep of a night with this under my head, I would do so. I've tried it, but I can't do it. Hurts my ears when I turn over. It hollers at me. With whom the kings, now, you saw 10 of them. Those are 10 kings. So this should tell you who a king is. These kings are religions. They're religious. They are a religious power. People think of kings as Nebuchadnezzar. But these kings that he's talking about here are religious powers, and they're fighting against each other. That's the gods have them doing this. Also has them, all of them, fighting against the house of Yahweh. But the Molochim now is the one that's saying this. The Molochim, and to Yochanan, who actually wrote it down in 96 A.Y., but he wrote it for us, the house of Yahweh, in this last generation, 1934, which, as you saw, and I think that was brought out this morning, 1934. Carries the tag number. Couldn't have been given in any other time except this generation. That's when automobiles and airplanes and everything else came into action. And whom the kings of the earth. Didn't you see how foolish it is to reject this? You know, I mean, this has come down to us over a 6,000-year period. Not one of these prophecies, Yahweh said not one of them is going to fail. He said, "I gathered these prophecies." He's the one that gathered them. The plan is mine. It's the plan is with me. It's with me. Well, Yahweh's on his throne, and this plan is with Yahweh. And he gathered all of this, he said, put it in the book of Yahweh, and not one of them will fail. Not one of these prophecies. In fact, the Amplified Bible says, not one of these prophecies are going to fail. With whom the king, well, show you the whore, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, that is, idolatry or God worship, and the King James says idolatry, and the inhabitants of the earth, that's the waters that you saw, multitudes, nations, and tongues, the whole world, Revelations 12:9. The whole earth has been made drunk with confusion. It means confusion. Babylon or Babel. With the wine of her, that is, teaching of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of these God worshipers. And I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast full of the names of blasphemy. Blasphemy, Daniel said he would blaspheme the name of Yahweh and his laws. It's also said in Revelation 13 of the two horned beasts, showing they're both the same. And it actually says, let us be like the first beast, the Roman Catholic Church, Yada. Colored beasts, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads. Well, he shows you the location here. Having seven heads. He's got 10 horns shown in Daniel, but here he shows you now the location of this beast. Written in 96, stuck in prison now, this book, so it couldn't be given to anyone else except us. And the woman was arrayed in purple and decked with gold and silver, very rich, and called Mystery Babylon, Mystery Confusion. He was, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. That's the prophets, his prophets and apostles. And then it shows the seven heads in verse 7, and shows that those seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. The woman that brings forth the mysteries, the confusion, the God worship. That woman sits on seven hills, the seven hills of Rome. And all the commentators know this, but they still follow this woman. All the religions know this. I've heard it from Baptists and Methodists that that's got to be the Catholic Church, but they still follow the Catholic Church. They're against the Lamb. They come against the Lamb, verse 14. They have 10 horns. You just saw them not too long ago, selected. That's verse 12. And then these make war with the Lamb. They make war with the Lamb. Well, the Lamb is high priest over the house of Yahweh. So they're making war with the house of Yahweh. Big time right now. There's some more of their warfare that was brought to me this morning. They called it in long distance to tell me what was taking place. They're trying to keep the message of Yahweh from going out. These will make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them. You can rest assured he will. Praise Yahweh. For he's the ruler of rulers and the King of kings, and those who follow him are called chosen and faithful. That's the foundation you're being built on. Chosen and faithful. Don't let it turn, brother, and keep it. Keep this work going. Blessed are you when you feed the poor. Not on your own. Bring your tithes and offerings to the house. Then the house will feed the poor. Right. Praise Yahweh. Malachia even said, you know, that you steal tithes from the house. He says you fast. You fast. Your prayers aren't answered when you fast because you're stealing from Yahweh. That fasting should be on behalf of them, but you should keep it secret what you're doing personally. Through the house with your tithe, you're a part of the body. You're part of the body, the building, the house built up on this unity, this great stone, and Yeshua being the chief cornerstone. And he said to me, the waters which you saw are the multitudes, nations, and tongues, all of them. Now read verse 16 and notice the last four words there. The last four words. Well, of course, that's what Yeshua said in Matthew 7. They'll be cast into the fire. Then Revelation 18 then shows you the 1 hour burning. Malachia shows you the burning also. The Malachia, well, let's get at least two verses right there. I know I'm out of time, but Malachia 4. Malachia 4. Now, he's this same burning that's given in, put in print in 96 AY, then put in the prison, sealed up, couldn't go out to anyone until 1,500 years later. Then they started printing it. And by the time I was ready to be taught, the Bible came to our house. Yahweh will not let any of these prophecies fail. Check that out. You couldn't get the Bible. You couldn't get King James Version, not anything. Well, here is Malachia now, and he says, for behold, the day comes that will burn like an oven and burn up all the proud, all who do wickedly. That's verse 1. So he's speaking of this burning of Revelations 18. Revelations 18, that's the burning. It's the only burning mentioned. Isaiah 24, 6 is speaking of the same burning. Now in verse 2, he shows, but those who reverence the name, how could you reverence the name if you didn't know it? The King James Version that I had didn't have the name. It had the word Jehovah in one or two places. That got through, which led us to believe that Yahweh did have a name, that the Creator did have a name. In fact, we talked about it before we ever found out that his name was Yahweh. But for you who reverence my name, the light of righteousness. Now, without knowing what that is, you'd have to go to Psalms to get this information. But the light of Yahweh is his laws. You are the light of the world because you're teaching his laws to the world right now, all of you. We're giving the world who is blind, we're giving them light. Those who sit in darkness, we're taking them this light of Yahweh's law that says don't steal, don't kill, be in unity with Yahweh, be in unity with one another, be in unity with this work. Get that white stone, be a part of this building, this house. Praise Yahweh. You who reverence my name, the light of righteousness, will arise with healing in its wings, and you, brethren, you will go forth leaping like calves from the stall. Don't know if you've ever seen that, but they get very joyous when they're turned out of a stall and they get to run around and play. And well, that's the attitude that Yahweh painted there for you with animals that you could see, even chickens, when you let them out of the chicken house or out of the chicken pen and they get to run around outside and play for a while. They have that same joy that Yahweh says, that's the way you're going to be That's the way you're going to be if you'll come to unity with the house. Get involved in the work. Yes, get involved in the work. If you don't get involved in the work, you're not a part of it. Get involved. We got jobs for everyone. anything. We got jobs. Well, you know that. All of you do. I'm talking to the world. Come here and get involved in Yahweh's work. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.